computer not working right? Benjamin Rockwell can make sense of it for you, helping you gain the upper hand with your computer. Here is Benjamin Rockwell with Computer Talk Radio.
This week on Computer Talk Radio, Keith Emseter talks about the new Netflix studio. Steve Geske, the old guy, talks about artificial intelligence and where we may be going. On the Scam series, companies going out of business open up opportunities for the scammers. And on the IT Pro series, what should you do if you're asked to train your replacement? And that applies to both people in IT and out of IT. Listener questions. Milo, what are echo chambers and do I need to care about them? Lucy, she wants better help from the help desk without sounding needy or clueless. And Emma, are tech companies really listening to our private conversations? And coming up next, after the news, I'm going to talk about my my migration to Windows 11 and some of the pitfalls I ran into along the way. The website, if you miss any of that, is computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. You can download the podcast there. And, of course, you can contact us there. You can ask us your computer questions, your technology concerns, whatever they may be. And you can also do that at our toll-free phone number of 888-NERD. 888. That's 888-6373-888. So let's dive into the news, and there's a number of different things. So yes, Windows 11. I went to Windows 11, and that's because Windows 10 does have a deadline. There is an end of life to it, and it is in October of this year. And that's been famously announced for a very long time. Microsoft has held fast on that for, I think it's been a couple of years now. And their solution this time around is for an extension, but a weird one, and it's kind of new. So they're offering up an extended security updates program, ESU program, for home users. And as a home user, you'll pay $30 a year. Businesses have an amount that is twice that. So we're talking $60. And then the next year, it'll go up to $120. And the next year, it'll go up to $240. Yes, they're doubling it each year for the business users. That is going to go through 2028. Now, it appears that Microsoft 365 apps, they're going to have a similar option. But if you're not on Windows 11 by now, it's time to start looking at the options. I had hoped for a Windows 12 for my primary system, for something better, something that actually is decent, but I didn't get it. We didn't get it. So, yes, I bit the bullet, invested some serious time, and we'll talk about that here in just a short few minutes. Now, Ticketmaster announced this week that they're all in on upfront pricing. They pushed the idea of putting the fans first, and they started including fees in the ticket prices immediately instead of burying them at the end. So you buy the tickets, and then you find out later, oh, hey, there's this surcharge and all of that. This is great news. This is exciting, except what they didn't note on their announcement. The Federal Trade Commission announced this last December, said you can't do that anymore. And Ticketmaster had 120 days, and they only actually complied with that ruling on the 120th day. Okay, so this rule applies to all live event ticketing and what they call the short-term lodging industry, your hotels. So you can't go to a hotel and think you're paying $100 a night. But, oh, yeah, we've got the resort fee for another $50, and we've got the Wi-Fi fee for another $20, and we've got the pool fee, and we've got the extra. You get the idea. So both realms have long abused the idea of $5 products that have $50 in add-on fees. Yes, I'm exaggerating that a little bit, but it doesn't soothe the sting of so many past surprises of padded bills when I got the sticker shock. Yes. Now, are you sick of seeing a movie trailer on YouTube that turns out to be some fan fiction driven fake from AI? So we all are, including YouTube, who has decided they're going to demonetize any and all channels that do this. I love this. This is exciting for all of us, so we don't get hyped or led astray by something that's totally made up. I also like that this means that the movie industry may have a chance at bringing their own content to us without the distractions by those with marginal AI skills. Okay, some of the fakes were good. Maybe I shouldn't malign him that bad. Some of the fakes were good, but some of the other items out there, like I saw the first full-length feature AI movie, and it was bad. I mean, really bad. Oh, I didn't talk about that? Yeah, because it shouldn't even have been considered to be made. It was just horrible. The Texas Senate passed a bill this past week that would require that all renewable power projects, even the existing ones, buy backup power from coal and gas plants. And they must match the output from daytime to fill the needs at night under this idea. And I'm really puzzled as to who came up with this idea, but it's not scientists. Demand at night is lower. Solar power is non-existent. Winds are unpredictable. New power plants from solar and wind can be put up in half the time as the traditional coal and gas plants. Now, don't get me wrong. I am really not sold on the idea of this quote-unquote green energy. There are a lot of things in regards to the long-term impacts of solar panels, of the wind turbines, and all of that. So let me say this. I really would rather that they have a chance to prove themselves out. Either way, whether they prove them out to be good or prove them out to be bad, it doesn't matter. To me, this is like mandating two engines in everyone's car, even though you can only use one at a time. So why would we do that? I don't know. This just doesn't make sense to me. Now, Slate Auto. This is backed by Jeff Bezos, and it may have been a really good idea for Jeff to have done this. In just a couple of weeks, they managed to pick up reservations of 100,000 of these highly customizable low-end electric trucks. So they weren't as fast as Cybertruck, but when the Cybertruck was announced, they had years of experience backing the idea through all of the different Tesla cars that came before that. This came out of the blue and was really working via word of mouth. So, yes, there's a long history of problems in the electric vehicle industry, and this machine is not what most people think about as far as it's not high end. But you know what? This is still something. As previously mentioned, it's going to start below $20,000 after some $7,500 in tax credits from the feds. And that's for discussion later, as there's also some pushback on that tax credit, as well as some different requirements and hoops to jump through whenever you're going forward and you're trying to get to that tax credit. So anyways, if Slate delivers, it looks like it's going to be potentially one of the best competitors on the EV scene, even without a stereo or without the power windows or, well, okay, you get the idea. It's a bargain basement car. Now, imagine if you broke a part on something that you own and it runs $50 or $100, but you can replace that individual little part by 3D printing it. Now, some of the various libraries on the internet, think Thingiverse and stuff like that, they have done that already with third-party redesigns. You can go on out and you can find some of the very interesting designs, and sometimes they're even better than what the original part was. Philips one of the leading companies in the electric razor world has started something remarkable, however. This past week, they announced they're going to provide the files needed to do some of this printing on your own using their own original specifications, their instructions, their guidance as to how to make some of these parts. And this is great. This is really taking that next step forward to customer service, enabling the customers to fix their own items. It's in the early stages right now, but it could launch us in a brand new direction where, if for nothing else, the promise of being able to fix it on our own becomes a deal changer when we select between the Philips parts or the Philips product and their competitor. Coming up next, my journey to Windows 11 here on Computer Talk Radio.
Let's talk about on and off.
You mean like light switches?
Yeah, the original user interface device.
And you were there, right?
Hey, I'm not that old.
Yeah, you are. So on and off.
Yeah, only with no humans doing it, like...
But you and I both have our computers on CyberPower UPS systems.
Yeah, so we have power, but there's another on and off.
Oh, right. Online and offline.
You got it. Meaning another UPS at the cable modem and VoIP phone and Wi-Fi router.
And even a low-cost standby UPS can handle those. Better, of course, if it has AVR.
Right, so it doesn't have to hit the battery just because the line voltage drops.
Maybe it's a good time to mention the promo that saves $10 to $15. Details are at the CyberPower website.
And maybe you could put it on your website?
Oh, that's already done at ComputerTalkRadio.com.
You know, on and off, you take really good care of your listeners.
Technological choices in our lives can often be far more complex than just some of the different easy decisions that we might make. And I want to look at something, and I'm going to start off by noting that I run the beta version of iOS on a regular basis, the public beta. And it's because the migration from various version to version, and actually it's not even, it's just these subsequent little patches and little changes along the way, which make it very easy to migrate from version to version. And it's okay. But we look at, why did I wait so long to upgrade my primary system to Windows 11? And I'll tell you, from the get-go, we started hearing that the early pre-release versions of Windows 11 were messing up systems. Well, that's an alert right there. That's an alarm bell. And we started to hear about these other things where hardware requirements were very specific. And I had to check, okay, I have the hardware requirements on my primary system. But I still resisted because even computers out there that had those requirements were still having some mess ups. And then we started hearing about compatibility issues. And those compatibility issues were very concerning. Some of these different applications, which would work fine on Windows 10 or previous versions, all of a sudden were breaking. Some of them were specialized or legacy or just a matter of different quirks. And then we had driver issues also that were brought up over and over again. And then let's move into the next thing, the user experience. And the user experience initially was far less customizable. All of a sudden, they're moving the start bar all around. They're moving this start menu to not quite the middle, about a third of the way over to two-thirds of the way over. And you've got empty space on either side. And yes, I know it expanded, but it felt just awkward. And there were other things like the start menu really messes up and disrupts the entire workflow. You may be used to going to your apps just by clicking on start and then you scroll down if you're running Windows 10 or any of the previous versions for quite a while. But no, now you've got to click on start and then you've got a few apps that are showing there and then you've got to click on through and it gets a little annoying. And then we throw in privacy concerns. And left and right, Microsoft has been going through and talking about telemetry, which is tracking where you're at, and personalized ads, which really raises an alarm bell. Look, I'm getting an operating system. I don't want to be buying into something which is going to be continually throwing ads at me. And that by itself is already concerning. But then they've got all of these data collection features where they're turning them on and they require you to go in and to shut down all of these different things. And then stability issues overall. Am I painting a bad picture? I'll tell you, this is why I resisted bug reports constantly. We would hear reports that, oh, they released a patch to fix a security bug, and all of a sudden, a bunch of Windows 11 systems were not working again. And all of these different update risks just in the update process where, we thought it was going to go well and it didn't work. And along the way, we've got all of these different new features, but there's not a whole lot of features. It seems like they're messing around with Windows just to mess with our minds, to make something different, to make something that is a different appearance, a different feature set and whatnot in a pitch to get us to buy into the next level without really thinking through or even working with how we, you and I, operate. So, along the way, over the course of the last few years, I have wound up upgrading a few different systems to Windows 11. Or, I've got a couple of laptops around here, and I've slowly looked at it. But my primary system, that was the one that was of most concern. And I did finally update it just about a month ago. And I had found the different things. I was mostly concerned with this one because it does do a number of key things for me. And it does have a lot of legacy software. And it has a lot of weird, quirky software that nobody's ever heard of. And a lot of different things that really made me just fear for the experience. Overall, the install process was mostly okay. I will tell you along the way, it did have some hiccups. It did have to have some massaging in it, which is a twist considering I've run all of the different beta versions of every Windows operating system, the general use operating systems, not the server operating systems, since Windows 3.1. Yeah, we're talking back in, whatever it was, 92, something like that. Yes, that far back. Maybe it was 93. But I've been running those. Yes, I was there. I was running 95 before most people even knew that Windows 95 was coming. Windows 98, Windows 2000, okay, all right, not the greatest one. And then Windows XP, which was beautiful. And yes, along the way, we're talking 7, 8, Vista, and then 10. But 11, I just got so much nervousness up front. So what did I run into with the Windows 11? So yes, as I've already mentioned, the install process was not smooth. Every single one prior was smooth. I had to make some adjustments. I had to download special drivers for a couple of different things I've got going on. I had to update a couple of different software packages because it was not seamless. I had to move the start button around. You used to not be able to do that. You're able to do that now. I had to put up with the whole idea of these ads which pop up in various little spots. No, it's not big, huge ads, but Microsoft is trying to feed me a lot more information than I'm really happy about. Along the way, I had three different packages, software packages, that broke in the process. One of them completely broke. Toasted, just gone. I had to download the latest version of it and install it, and that fixed it. Another one partially broke. I had to go in and I had to do some tweaks and adjustments and stuff like that. One of them was really weird, though. One of them, which it has a number of different settings in it, and it lost the settings along the way. What, it lost them? I'm sitting here, I'm going, this isn't working at all. Why isn't it working? Well, all of these settings are blanked out. Why are they blanked out? Why do I have no numbers in these fields? So I had to go through and I had to massage that. And there is no rhyme or reason as to why that one broke. I don't understand. And yet I found a lot of people had problems with that package. I feel like I'm justified in this one. I feel like I'm justified in the waiting because overall, my time involved in the process to update from Windows 10 to Windows 11 on the same machine, 10 Pro to 11 Pro, was a matter of somewhere around 20 hours, and that's outside of the upgrade process, outside of the backup that I did ahead of time, outside of all of the pre-work, and that shouldn't be the case. That should not be anything that anybody should be dealing with. Not in today's day and age. And we should be expecting more from Microsoft. We should be demanding more from Microsoft. And yeah, maybe I'm late to the game on my primary system. I've been watching this all the way along, and I feel like I was justified in waiting and being patient and still spending far more time in this upgrade than I ever should have. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. Microcenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, Microcenter is your resource. Check out Microcenter.com today. Microcenter.com.
Phone number 888-NERD 888. That's 888-637-3888. Keith Amsidor joins me now. And Keith, one of the interesting things just in the last couple of weeks is an announcement from your neck of the woods all about everybody's favorite streamer, Netflix.
You're talking about Netflix, of course.
Exactly.
Well, they are the original, and they're the ones we rented our DVDs from without having to go to the store. And I remember
those days.
I binge watched all of the TV series 24 on DVDs coming to my house from Netflix. And right when we were going to get done to, you know, there's like four or five episodes per disc, right when we're about to watch the last one, I'd order the next one.
Yeah, I remember doing stuff like that. Not with 24, because we actually bought the series. We bought every season up until the last of Jack Bauer's seasons.
Ah, well, the funny thing for us was we had heard about 24, and we're like, no, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. And everybody was like telling us how wonderful the show was. So by the time it was on hiatus between seasons 4 and 5, we said, all right, let's watch it.
You were late to the game.
Yeah. So my wife and I binge watched seasons 1 through 4 and then got the preview disc for season 5 and literally finished season 4 the day before season 5 started on Fox on TV.
Too funny. For my wife and I, we started watching it on air from episode 1. And
we were
hooked on that one. Anyways, let's talk about Netflix, though. Let's get back to that.
Yeah,
they're setting up a nice little production hub out in your area, out in New Jersey.
Yeah, that's very true. Fort Monmouth Military Base closed a couple of years ago, and Netflix has taken over much of that property space and is going to be creating 500,000 square feet of studio space. In fact, you were looking at the article more recently than I was. So how many studios, sound stages?
12 sound stages, 500,000 square feet. And then they're going to have additional areas dedicated to supporting film uses, community amenities, and I'm sure that there's going to be some outdoor filming ability for them as well.
Absolutely. If I drove through that space with my wife last summer, and a lot of it is just like old barracks and old office buildings, and a lot of it was like already stripped, and it's literally just down to the frames, and they're tearing a lot of those buildings down now to make room for all that they're going to build going forward. And just so exciting, Benjamin, to think that right here at the Jersey Shore, we're going to have the same level of prestige that, you know, when Hollywood gave way to Ontario and Hollywood gave way to the Atlanta area and the Atlanta suburbs. You know, every time you watch something in the credits, it says Georgia, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're going to see a lot of stuff happening in New Jersey. It's really very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Although I'm surprised because I don't if this is the first time I think you've ever referenced Jersey Shore on the show. You and I have talked about it. I will not make the obligatory reference to the show.
Neither will I, because that show was not about people from the Jersey Shore. It was about people from New York who came to the Jersey Shore. And I would not blight my mind to watch a single episode.
All right. So this is exciting, though. This is Netflix really, I mean, we've seen how they've grown over the course of the years. I mean, you're right. How you opened, they just used to send us DVDs. Who would have thought? I mean, one of the recent movies they did, Electric State, they spent whatever it was, $300 million or something like that, building that movie.
But think about this, Benjamin.
Yeah.
But think about this. They went from sending us DVDs to just making sure they could secure the rights to major motion pictures so the people would want to watch Netflix to begin with.
Yeah.
And now they're completely doubling down on, not only are we going to be the best streamer, we're going to make the best content, and we're building the studios to allow us to do that.
Yes. I think this is a brilliant move by them. I think that this is going to solidify them. And I think Amazon continues to stumble. Amazon, my really big thing that I've got against Amazon is that they have a vast library, and they could be streaming more movies than Netflix has. And yet they don't. I mean, yes, they will if you want to pay them $5 or $7 a movie. But that isn't how you build a streamer. So, you know, that's my thought there.
That's also true, Benjamin. But they do have a number of, you know, really good shows. There was one show that we watched, wonder what happened to it, and it just got renewed for the second and third season. I forget the name of it off the top of my head, but it was about these people that lived underground, and then they came up after, it was like after some nuclear apocalypse.
It's based off of the video game, and I can't remember. Yes. Season two is almost out.
Yes, and it's but in addition Fallout. To the fact that season two, Fallout, thank you. It's a wonderful series.
Is it? I haven't seen it.
My wife and I watched the entire first season, loved it. We're excited that season two will be out soon. But before episode one of season two even hits, we also found out that they've greenlit season three.
Okay. All right.
So Amazon does have a few things, but I do agree with you. They're not pulling their weight the same way that Netflix and, you know, a couple of the other streamers
Disney,
are.
The Disney-Hulu combo is just amazing. I love that.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah. So there's of course, all kinds of different streaming stuff happening. You know, you and I almost turned this into a nerd cast. We haven't done one of those in ages. We need to spend some time figuring that one out. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell.
And I'm Keith M. Cedor.
You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hi, this is Benjamin Rockwell. Most of us use digital cameras nowadays, but what do we do with those old pictures and slides in the back of the closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. If you have boxes of old slides, then you know they fade more and more each year. Let Legacy Digital scan them for you and stop the aging process dead in its tracks. You'll get beautiful 10-megapixel digital files, color-corrected and ready for printing. All this is done faster and cheaper than buying a film scanner and doing it yourself. Your files are then burned onto gold archival DVD discs where they will last for generations. Call right now, mention my name, Benjamin Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY. And tell them Benjamin sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
Phone number 888-NERD-888. That's 888-637-3888. That's just one of many ways you can reach out to us. And you can do it anywhere, anytime. I may not answer the phone. That's okay. Please leave a message. Again, we will answer your technology concerns and your computer questions either way around. Marty Winston joins me now, and Marty, so this is something that's a little bit more popular for you. You and I've talked about the fact that you do like to wear hats. I'm not a big hat person. I've got maybe two hats, maybe three. I don't know.
Are you talking about full brim hats or ball caps?
Everything. I think I've got
on one stocking cap.
One stocking cap. I think that's what it's called. Yeah, one of those knit beanies. I've got a wide brim that I wear if I'm going to be out in the sun all day.
Like a straw hat or an Australian outback hat.
Australian outback hat, and then I think I know I've got one regular cap in the car, but that's it. I'm not big on hats.
Well,
but that's okay, though.
Other people are.
Everybody. I go to church and I see so many of the other guys who have a similar hairdo that I do, meaning no hair. They wear caps. They wear a bunch of.
You don't want to sunburn your scalp.
Yeah, I use sunscreen, but I've been doing that for so long. So
I would also. Yeah. You know, if it's raining, it's sometimes inconvenient. Let the fabric take it. The point
is,
I probably have dozen and a half, two dozen caps in a box upstairs somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, my wife and I bought cars. We got two baseball caps that say Subaru on them.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. You go to trade shows. How do you not walk home with another half dozen hats? You know, I'm going to give them to somebody useful. message hats and brand hats and logo hats and all of that stuff. And when they're in the closet for a while, when you wear them for a while, when you do work in them, when you shove them in a drawer, all of that, they no longer look like a dome with a bill up front.
Sure, yeah.
Well, one of the new products of early 2025 is from Danico. That's with one N, D-A-N-Y-C-O, the Danico Het Shaper. And it is for those ball caps with the bill up front.
Okay.
You might call them baseball caps, gimme caps. It's got a fabric dome. It's got a big brim that's a great sunshade that's only up front. A good odds of something being printed or embroidered on the front. And the first thing you grab before starting the lawnmower, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, check your closet and reminisce over all the fun times you spent with the limp, dirty old caps that you still tuck away there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that was our night on the beach when the moon fell out of the sky, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, globally, ball caps, I love this stat, are a $21 billion industry.
Whoa. 21 billion with a B.
Billion.
It's not going to be million. A billion. Wow.
We get them cheap or free, right? You got to buy them for the little league team.
Sure. Yeah.
Stuff happens. And the major league sports stores.
Mm-hmm.
30 different hats right there.
Oh, more than that. Yeah, I walk by, what's the name of it? Lids.
Yeah, there you go.
There's tons of those caps.
Well, now, this is something that you can do to bring those old closet caps back into shape. It's the Danico, one end, the Danico Hat Shaper.
Okay.
All right. One at a time. Grab a cap and wash it. Hat Shaper comes with a bottle of stiffener spray. Spray it on the hat. That helps restore the fabric. Place this still damp hat over the domed crown of the Hat Shaper dome, right? It has 10 size settings, so you're going to fit that hat perfectly.
Yeah.
I'm a 7 3/4, same size as Oprah.
Okay. Two new odd facts I learned from this one. All right. $21 billion industry, and Marty has the same size head as Oprah.
Billion with a B now.
Yes.
You slide the brim of the hat under the blow dryer, into the blow dryer. You turn on the fan. The fan has four speeds, four time settings, and it's blowing all under the dome through 226 air vents.
Oh, wow. Okay.
With the stiffener, with that even airflow, you're going to dry back into shape, and it's going to keep it for a while. When that hat is dry again, it's a lot like buying it new again.
Sure, yeah, okay.
So, you know, pick a rainy day. This is my favorite coming in this time of year. Pick a rainy day, binge your favorite series, and by the time the rain stops, you can go from picking from a few remaining survivors to your own store shelf of the hats you love to begin with. This is the Danico adjustable hat care machine with stiffening spray. It's about $80 at Amazon.
Okay.
And what do you pay for a new hat?
I don't know. The last time I bought a brand new hat, I would say that Australian. Well, no, I guess the knit beanie cap. But I
no. Stay with ball caps. You have one of those
with ball caps. I can't even remember. I don't know. What do they even run?
Well, depending where you shop, I've seen them for $15 to $18 each, and I cringe when I see that.
So if you've got 10 or 15 of those, yeah, this definitely starts making sense. Yeah,
it pays its own way.
Yeah. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Marty Winston. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and just a normal person. Recently, though, it was clear to me that it was time to upgrade, but I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After searching around for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their willingness to do things the right way. The SiteGround salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when a 32-ounce soda would do. These guys know WordPress, Joomla, and regular standard websites. These guys at SiteGround are awesome. SiteGround.com. Site, S-I-T-E, ground.com. The bad guys are out to get us. They're out to get you, me, and everybody they can, and they will use whatever tricks that they can come up with to get your money. Now, over the years, we have seen different businesses going out of business, different companies going out of business, different sales involved as they go through and liquidate everything. And just this is a constant throughout the world. This is always happening. Some companies just don't have the success, the long-term success that they would like to. And recently, a company by the name of Joann Fabrics went out of business. They declared bankruptcy. And this is a common issue. But one of the things that they did was they announced their closing sales and they halted all internet purchases. Now, scammers, however, they latched on to this and they said, okay, let's set up a fake web store that looks like Joann Fabrics. And this is a common thing. This is something that different scammers have done over the years. They set up a fake Best Buy store, a fake Amazon store. But this new one is a little bit tricky because you don't go back to Best Buy. You can't always figure out going to them and validating, is this a scam or not? Joann's is out of business, so any information going that way is going to be lost. You're not going to get any responses back. And, of course, the new website is going to look all kinds of official. It's going to say, hey, this is part of our online bankruptcy sale. This is one of those things where we're going out and we're getting rid of all of this stuff. And we don't have a whole lot of time to respond to it. But trust us, this is all just perfectly fine and dandy. Of course, you make a purchase, you get a receipt, but you never get anything that you ordered. As a matter of fact, if you look at your credit card history, you'll find out that the charge went to another entity that's not Joann Fabrics. And that may not even throw you because, yes, all of these different companies go out of sale. They get taken over by different companies that do the liquidation. They are looking to just squelch any concern along the way. Look, if you've fallen victim to this one, I want you to reach out to your bank immediately, report the fraud and all of that. And I want you to be very aware of who it is that you are shopping with. All the way along, we get the idea that these different going out of business sales are going to make us just a little bit of savings in our pockets. They're going to help us out with dealing with our finances because, hey, we can get fabric or whatever crafting supplies that you would buy at Joann's or any other store, electronics or whatever, and we can get a good deal on it. And, hey, why shouldn't we make that jump? Why shouldn't we just go ahead and get this at 50% off, 70% off, whatever it is? And that kind of appeals to our greed, which is one of the big, huge things that scammers like to take advantage of, especially with all of this impending doom. Oh, it's going away. All of this stuff, once it's gone, it's gone. You've got to buy now. You've got to jump in on this, the great deals that you're going to get. Do it now. And that should scare you anytime you hear something like that. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio. So I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country, but many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows the Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. Theradiofactory.com.
Your mouse is dead, and the computer is on life support. Benjamin Rockwell can help with that. And now, it's time for Computer Talk Radio with Benjamin Rockwell.
We are halfway through this week's Computer Talk Radio. The website, computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. The phone number, 888-NERD-888. That's 888-6373-888. You can reach out at either location. We're more than happy to answer your computer questions, your technology concerns, whatever they may be. We are, of course, radio's broadest look at computers, technology, and how they impact our lives. Steve Kesky joins me now. And Steve, you wanted to talk about AI.
Well, not just AI.
Yes. Okay.
It's AGI.
Okay, so
which is artificial general intelligence.
Yes. And so as we start to become more aware of AI in all of its forms, we as the populace need to understand that there's a ton of different models and directions that AI is going in. It's not just a matter of that large language model, your ChatGPT that you're dealing with. There's all of these other different layers and levels and directions that they want to explore.
Yeah.
So, Steve, let's dive into this AGI, the artificial general intelligence.
Yeah. Well, as we know, that AI in itself is subject matter directed.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, they wanted to map out the 1,000 or 1,100 proteins in the human body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would take years for human beings to do. But they did it in a matter of months with AI. That's directed AI.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Now, AGI is more generalized. In other words, it doesn't pick a particular, shall we say, thing that it wants to solve.
Okay.
It goes out there and says, okay, I want to know all about this particular subject matter. And it'll go out to the internet and find out all the information.
Mm-hmm.
But it also remembers what it did the last time that you wanted it to go out and do a subject. So that it has now the ability to go out and say, well, I found this over here, and that might apply over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And that's more a GI general than it is very specific.
Sure.
So that's the newest thing coming.
So with this AGI, we're talking about a number of different things. In the past, you and I have talked about things like the Turing test, and this is something that's going to really wind us up in that direction of proving out AGI. And the Turing test is a test that was proposed by Alan Turing some 75 years ago or so in regards to a human judge deciding whether a machine that was designed to generate human-like responses could actually pass that test if and fool the judge. And it basically, the machine passes if it can convince the judge it's human in a significant portion of time.
Yep.
So we've already seen a couple of reports recently that some of these different AI models have passed the Turing test, but they haven't provided their proofs yet, which is a very key item in this.
Yeah. Of course, I do know humans that haven't passed the Turing test either.
Yeah, there is that. Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, I can understand where everybody is going. And yes, the proof is in the pudding, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't stand up, it just doesn't stand up.
Yeah.
But so- I can see where we're heading for a more generalized, being able to have artificial talent intelligence go out and do things for us, you know, and all that kind of good stuff. But I still say there's one problem that AI will probably never solve.
Okay, and what is that?
And that is, I can take five things that I know and then apply it to a sixth subject over here that has nothing to do with those five over here.
Mm-hmm.
The human brain can do that.
So extrapolate.
So much as make that intuitive jump.
Right. In a way, extrapolate from the first five and apply all of that information to the sixth, even though it's completely unrelated.
Yeah.
And you know what? That is going to be a very interesting thing to see. It takes a certain level of creativity to make some of those leaps. Okay. I will tell you, the Turing test has been around for a long time. There are a number of other different tests that have been proposed. I like the IKEA test, and this was proposed by a scientist by the name of Marcus. And it's basically, it's also known as the flat pack furniture test. Now, you and I, if we were presented, we got a box from IKEA, and we got that the instruction set there. And you could use this, the same kind of concept with Lego sets.
Yeah.
And basically just follow the parts and the instructions, and then assemble the furniture correctly. And so far, none of the AIs have been able to do that. I like the Wozniak test. And the machine is required to enter an average home and figure out how to make coffee. It has to find the coffee machine, find the coffee, add water, find a mug, and brew the coffee by pushing the proper buttons. And I think that's ingenious, especially since, some homes, you're not going to be able to do that because the machine is not your typical, you walk into a home and it's a percolator or some of these drip systems.
Oh, yeah.
And humans figure this out. All around, people are figuring out new ways to make coffee. Not that I really focused on that because I'm allergic to coffee, but that's another story.
I mean, here I am.
Yeah.
I have seen drippolators and percolators and all machines and everything else. So I can make that jump from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Most people can't.
Yeah.
That are under the age of 30, I should say.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. They're used to the little
push button.
Yeah, Keurig. I wanted to say Keebler for a moment. I don't know why. It's just like a Keurig, but it's got more chocolate in it instead. So, there's a lot of interesting different directions that we can go in for these different tests to see how we're progressing, what the intelligence is. The biggest test that I see machines failing, however, is one that is actually a scary one, something we can talk on another time, and that is the idea of these machines going on out and cheating on chess. the hallucinations that they've got. We call them hallucinations. It's just a matter of erroneous information that the AI comes up, whether it's wishful or just plain bad. You know, a number of these different directions are kind of scary.
Yep. I understand exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah. We need to figure out a way to constrain AI to teach it the right way to go. All of these different models, it
just
doesn't
needs
matter.
Guide rails.
It needs guide rails. Yeah. So we've got about a minute left. Any closing comments in regards to any of this AI stuff?
Well, again, you know, I personally like some of the intuitive stuff that electronics can do for me.
Mm-hmm.
But AI is good as long as, as I said, it has guide rails. And because it's just as easy to use it for good as it is for bad.
Just like any tool, really.
Yeah, just like any tool. It's not the tool that's bad. It's how it's used.
Yeah. Or eventually, AI.
AI.
The AI revolution. How it uses us. And information against us. That could get scary. That could get all kinds of Terminator movie references start happening. Who knows? As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Steve Keske. You are listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. You have a couple of those new carbon open frame racks from CyberPower, right?
Yeah, I love them. I configured a 25U to 40 inches deep, about twice as deep as a regular rack, and put more than a dozen peripherals in it.
You know, I saw your article about it. I can't believe it's not clutter.
And my 45U carbon rack, that's also 40 inches deep, will hold a ton of networking and control systems, the network video recorder.
Holy screwdriver, rack man!
You're getting one of their gorgeous enclosed racks soon.
Oh yeah, the 24U. Bigger than their wall mount carbon racks, but smaller than their tall boy.
Did you see what's happening with carbon on the CyberPower website?
Oh yeah, the promo, 10% off all their racks and rack accessories through the end of September. I put a link up at computertalkradio.com. computertalkradio.com. Milo reached out. Everyone keeps throwing around the term echo chamber when talking about social media. Is this just another buzzword, or is there actually something to it? Of course, the website, computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. That's how you can reach out to me. Send me your computer questions, your technology concerns, and I will do my best to address them. Again, computertalkradio.com. So Milo asking about echo chambers, and this is actually something that's pretty big. I want you to picture this. You log on to your favorite social media platform, and it can be any of them. It doesn't matter who we're talking about, but you start scrolling through, we'll call it your Facebook feed, and surprise, every post, every comment, every video aligns perfectly what you already think. You're sitting there and you're watching this video, you're going, this post, it's dead on, it's absolutely what I think. And it feels good. Like the whole world just gets you. But what if that's because the platform itself is quietly making sure that you only see what it thinks you want to see? And that is where the problem is. That is the world of these online echo chambers. So on social media, an echo chamber is formed by, it's really a self-reinforcing bubble. And this is because all of these different engagements that you have, all of these different patterns that you create, they push information to the algorithms. So if you like a particular video in regards to how to prepare food, and then you like another one, and somebody posts a recipe, and you like that, and you keep going along these food ideas, all of a sudden you're going to have this environment that is shaped around various food news, various food content, various opinions on how to make food. And they're going to frequently align with what you already believe. These different chambers, they form through algorithmic curation. And what does that mean? That's basically the fact that platforms like Facebook and TikTok and YouTube and X, formerly known as Twitter, they all prioritize content that keeps you engaged. When you hit like, when you give a thumbs up, all of these hearts and whatever emoji you assign to it, it already starts tracking that. If you watch certain types of videos, it's going to feed those to you more often. It's going to mean that it's showing you more of what you've already interacted with. And if you start skipping past these videos, you see, oh, yeah, it is. Here's another cake video. Why do I keep seeing cake videos? And you just keep swiping past. It's going to start noticing what you do stick on. And it's going to give you more of those. Then we get into filter bubbles, and search engines and recommendation systems, they tailor results based on your past behavior, slowly narrowing the range of perspectives that you're exposed to. Then we get into tribal engagement, and online spaces often become ideological battlegrounds where people are sticking to their own side and they dismiss or outright attack opposing views, and that builds into outrage culture. And yes, some of social media thrives on the controversies, and it really just builds on conflicts, meaning that polarizing opinions also get amplified whenever nuanced discussions come along. They get buried. So how do you tell if you're trapped in one of these? Well, if your feed is an endless loop of the same opinions, if every single meme, every comment, every video, everything that comes along, if you see a bunch of these things reinforcing the same worldview, you're stuck in an echo chamber. If you are not seeing any opposing views, or worse, you see opposing views that are way on the dramatic, most exaggerated takes from the other side, then you're likely seeing a distorted version of reality. And the reality is we are seeing a lot of this, where the debates, they devolve into name-calling. In echo chambers, there's little room for healthy disagreement. The outsiders to those echo chambers, they're treated as enemies, and discussions turn into these digital shouting matches. You feel personally attacked by different perspectives. If encountering a conflicting viewpoint feels like an existential threat, it might be because you're not used to seeing them. There's a lot of stuff that's out there. I will tell you, there are plenty of feeds out there that are very, very pro-cop, and they will show you videos in regards to the good things that cops are doing. There are plenty of feeds out there which are very anti-cop, and they show all of the bad things that the few bad cops out there are doing. And that may be shifting all of our opinions on one side. Oh, there are only good cops. There are never any bad cops. Or there are only bad cops. There are never any good cops. If you see things that are one-sided like this, if they shove you to one extreme or the other, you need to be thinking about escaping that social media bubble, that echo chamber, that entire feedback loop. First off, I want you to think about following people that you disagree with. and I want you to do this on purpose. I want you to expand your feed to include credible voices from different perspectives, even if they challenge your views. Simply put, if you are a Democrat and all you see is Democrat items on your feed, I want you to find reasonable Republicans. If a Republican and all you see is Republicans on your feed, I want you to expand your horizons and add Democrats. I also want you to use multiple sources for news. Don't rely on social media for information. Actively seek out diverse news outlets to get a fuller picture. You also need to see if you can turn off any of these algorithmic recommendations. Platforms like YouTube and Facebook, you have to dig for this. You have to look around. But they let you disable some of these personalized recommendations in order to get a broader, less curated feed. We also need to all be engaging critically, not reactively. Before liking, sharing, or commenting on a post, ask yourself, is this actually true? Or is it just what I want to believe? Is this part of my echo chamber? Or is this something where I'm stretching out? I'm expanding what I'm knowing and thinking about and doing and all of the rest of that. Step outside that digital space as well. Real-world conversations can be far more nuanced than any online debates. Talk to people in person, where algorithms don't dictate what the discussion is. In closing, I really want to note that these echo chambers can hurt us a lot. They do make the internet feel comfortable, but it also makes it all dangerously one-sided, like being in a room where everyone is nodding along no matter what you say. The reality, the digital world is designed to keep us inside of these bubbles because it's keeping us engaged. But once you step outside of them, it's not only good for personal growth, it's essential for understanding the world as it really is. Varied, dynamic, vibrant. There's all kinds of different things out there. And we need to escape those algorithms and what they want us to see of the world. This is Benjamin Rockwell. Break free from those echo chambers. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
Emma's question is one you really need to pay attention to. Are tech companies really listening to my private conversations, or is that just paranoia? The website, of course, you can reach out with your questions, computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. Scroll down to where it says contact us today. I will get back to you with answers to your computer questions, your technology concerns. I'm very interested in all of them. Are tech companies, this is what Emma writes, are tech companies really listening to my private conversations, or is that just paranoia? And I get it. It's like having a roommate who swears that they're not eavesdropping, yet they always bring up things that you just talked about. And the unfortunate cold hard truth is, yes, they are listening, not to the extent that you think, but far more than the extent of other people thinking. So look, voice assistants, they do listen. They listen on a regular basis. They are monitoring for their wake words, whether we're talking about Alexa or Google Assistant or Siri. Yes, they do. And there are reports of accidental activations recording private conversations seriously. Yes, that I did that intentionally. I wanted to drive that home. There are times where we say those words and my iPhone just woke up and said, hey, are you talking to me? What? Huh? Oh, maybe you're not talking to me. Oh, yeah. She even said, I didn't get that. So, look, this is a regular thing. We do wind up with situations where they're going to kick in when we don't want them to. They're not perfect items. Now we move to that next extent. We move to, well, are they doing it on a regular basis where they actually are monitoring beyond that? And we have seen things with like the Facebook app monitoring when it shouldn't be. If you've got Facebook last loaded up and then you launch into a conversation with somebody while you've got Facebook running, yeah, it has been shown many times that they are listening and they are looking to improve upon their various algorithms. And we see ads that are coming up based on conversation that we've had. And yes, sometimes ads do seem hyper-personalized, not because you were listened to, but because there are also algorithms that track your browsing habits, your social media activity, and the interests of your contacts. So it goes both ways. We may have a conversation that is very similar to something we talk about, something that's particularly scary or something that we might see ads for. And we may have that conversation amongst each other, you and I. We may be sitting there talking about the types of hammers to use when you're building a deck for your house or something like that. And then all of a sudden we start getting ads based off of hammers, based off of decks, based off of improving your house. But let me ask you, is that a matter of you starting a conversation based off of one ad that you saw recently that you dug deeper into? Or is that something that's brand new, separate from it? And we can't truly be sure about this. Sometimes we see something and we have a conversation based off of that's just sparked off of something we saw recently. And because we paid attention on that ad, all of a sudden it's going further, it's going deeper into more ads along that same line. So we have to be very careful by saying that it's eavesdropping on us. Now, I will tell you, yes, to some extent, they are. I want you to think about reviewing your microphone permissions. There are many apps out there that request access to a number of different things that they don't need access to. Think about this. Candy Crush. This is just one example. It's been a long time since I've loaded it up, but I recall the last time that I loaded it up, I installed it, and it had a lot of different permissions. Like my location. Why does it need to know my location? It's a video game. Why does it need access to the camera, to my photos, to my microphone? And I don't recall that Candy Crush did ask for all of those, but I recall it asked for some. Look, these app requests are asking for access to a lot of things that they don't need. You should be going through on a regular basis and reviewing and restricting any of the permissions in your smartphone settings that can potentially allow for or limit eavesdropping. And this is something that it goes a step further in that there are many conversations that actually we do them offline and they may actually be inferred. If you and I search for similar things, platforms may assume that we have a shared interest. Facebook knows where you're at. Facebook has location-based items turned on regularly. So if you're sitting with a friend right there and you have a conversation together and they infer that you're both together and you have common interests, which we usually hang out with people with common interests, this can create this kind of idea in our mind that we feel that they heard something when in reality they actually harvested data points, our location, and what we already have as common interests and say, let's expand beyond that. These two have similar interests. Let's kind of poke at that because that was probably a recent conversation that they had. Who knows? There's a lot of different things that they are doing with big data that we really couldn't even begin to fathom. The amount of things that Facebook knows about you is actually really scary. I have an item that I talk about every year or so about all of the things that they know about us. Look, I will encourage you. Look into various privacy-first software packages if you're concerned. You can go on out and you can pick up Android phones that have been de-Googled. You can pick up privacy-focused browsers, whether we're talking DuckDuckGo or Brave or whatever, and these can reduce the data collection items that are happening. Look, while your devices may not be actively spying on you, the data that you generate, just utilizing these apps, can still be used to protect your interests with an amazingly eerie accuracy. We have to all take part in doing our best to at least reduce some of that. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hey guys, this is Benny Rockwell. Most of us use video cameras nowadays, but what about those old movie films in the back of your closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. Imagine Grandpa's old 8mm and 16mm films that are just sitting in a box getting old and fading away. Legacy Digital will clean and recondition those films, capture them digitally frame by frame, and then produce beautiful DVDs of your precious memories on long-lasting archive-quality discs. They don't use a projector, and your films can't be damaged in the process, the best available for families like yours. The final results are gorgeous. What better way to preserve those precious memories for future generations? Call right now, mention my name, Benny Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY, 1-866-253-4229. And tell them Benny sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
This is Benjamin Rockwell, and now it's time to get down to business. Let's talk about computers, the workplace, and a lot of the different things in between. And one of the topics that I wanted to cover was the idea of what you should do if you're asked to train your replacement. What's the best move here? And this happens in all facets of business. It is happening more and more frequently in the IT sector. And the reason for this is there's a lot of ideas that we should offshore so much of this IT. And I don't agree with offshoring all of IT. I don't even agree with it offshoring more than, you know, there's certain roles you can throw overseas. There's certain roles that you can outsource because it's easier to do it, more cost effective to do it offshore, but not always as reliable, not always as efficient, not always the best idea here. So I struggle all the way along with the idea of offshoring, but that's beside the point. So what does a person do if they're going to be training their replacement? And this is a recurring theme that I hear throughout throughout IT, my sector. So I see three big options. First one is to decline the request. You want me to train somebody else how to do my job? No, I don't think so. Okay, that is a big red flag. Don't do that. And the reason why I say that don't do that is you're going to be on the street a lot faster. If you're not going to train anybody, you're not going to be happy here in the short amount of time you have left. So, bye-bye. Hit the door and head on out. And that may be something you do. You may decide right then and there to say, I'm out the door. And that might be good for your health, because the next item on this list is complying and following through with that training. Here's the thing. There's an upside. You leave on good terms. You probably have some level of a severance package or a bonus that's contingent on assisting with these transitions. At this point in time, you probably should be seeking one of those bonuses. You should be saying, look, I get it. If you want me to stay around for this time period, you're going to need to help me out. You need to make this a good incentive for me to train properly, to train all of this information over. Here's the downside. There is an emotional toll involved with training somebody who's going to fill in your role. Three jobs ago, I left a company of my own volition. I decided, hey, I'm headed out the door. I do want to train someone. I want to hand off a lot of this information. And my handoff involved a 50-page syllabus, if you will, of a lot of different things. I kind of explained out where all of the dead network cables were buried. And it was important that I do that. It was a difficult thing because we have to come to an agreement there in the tech field of what does this person know? What are they going to understand? Or what are the things that are going to be beyond their knowledge and capability and their skill set? And that was a very tricky thing there. And there was an emotional drain on me. When you have a set deadline, you need to train this person over the course of the next 3 months. They're going to take your job. You have an emotional toll on yourself because you already know that you have a deadline and you have to basically find your parachute before those 3 months are over. But then there's also that never a guarantee. There's no formal agreement. There's no assurance of additional compensation or benefits. You need to get this, anything like that, in writing. You need to outline expectations on both sides and any promised incentives, and the company needs to make good on this. The last item, the last option, is to negotiate a consulting agreement. And you basically transition over to that consultant role, and you set your own rates. You ensure that you're paid for your knowledge of how the various cogs in the machine work at the company. You do get some control back over your schedule, over your responsibilities, and that allows you to start looking for a new position to take the place of your current full-time position. And that's some of the upside. Some of the downside is consulting roles may end sooner. They may push you out the door faster, especially if you say, well, I know I only used to get paid $30 an hour, but my consulting fee is $300 an hour. Yeah, people are not going to take too kindly to that. So you've got to find that right number in conjunction with the folks, and you have to really go through a good negotiation there. However, those negotiations are going to put a potential strain on the situation. They need to be delicate. They need to be very careful. Not all employers are going to be receptive to this idea. If you're going this route, I would suggest present a detailed proposal that outlines your consulting services, your rates, and your availability. And they should also emphasize the value that you're going to bring during the transition. It's still probably one of the best routes to go, no matter what you choose there. My biggest suggestion, don't choose the decline the request item, that very first one where you go, nope, I'm not going to train anybody. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and, well, a normal person. Recently, though, it became clear to me that it was time to upgrade. I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After looking for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their care, their willingness to do things the right way. The SiteGround salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when all I needed was a 1-gallon bucket. The folks at SiteGround know WordPress, Joomla, and more. SiteGround.com, S-I-T-E, ground.com for your web hosting needs. SiteGround. Lucy's question, how can I get better help from the help desk without sounding needy or clueless? First off, Lucy, I want you to understand that there's always going to be some level of bridge that you're going to have to cross along the way. And most IT folks are understanding this. We've all been in various areas. Look, I'm an IT guy. I will tell you that you may sound clueless, no offense, I really don't mean that offensive, you may sound clueless talking about tech stuff. I may be clueless when I start talking about things in regards to various emotional items. You know, at most IT folks, they are nerds, and nerds do not always communicate as well on that personal relationship basis. So all the way along, one of the things you can do if you want to kind of reduce this is, first up, you plan ahead. You know, it's like ordering at a coffee shop during the morning rush. You figure out your order ahead of time. So that actually helps people behind the counter, as well as you, as well as the people that are behind you. So that means be specific about what you're experiencing. Instead of, hey, my computer is acting weird, try, my computer froze up after I opened up Excel and the mouse stops responding. And this happened the last 4 times and I've restarted my computer. And, you know, whatever it is, you really are specific. You take screenshots. You write down errors. You take notes. This happens once every week on Tuesday. This happens every other day, whatever it is. And you start taking notes about all of the problems that you're having. Clear documentation is going to shave hours off of any troubleshooting time. Next up, I want you to avoid panic in your tone. Starting with, this is urgent, for every ticket that you've got is going to desensitize your IT team. So use the high priority option wisely. And this is easily done. One of the things you can do is always choose the lowest priority and let them decide to help you on whatever time, unless it truly is a panic point. Now, I want you to also remember that you're not the only person out there with an issue. A little patience is going to go a long way, as well as a little bit of appreciation. A quick thank you or positive comment can make your IT person's day, and it will improve future interactions. Last up, I want to encourage you to learn more about computing. I want to encourage everybody to learn more about computing. All the way along, everybody can learn more about all of these different technology items that are permeating our lives. So those IT techs and the help desk, they're like firefighters. Clear info, calm tone, and trust in the process will help them put out the blaze faster, that fire that your computer is experiencing, whatever it is. Just think about all of the different ways that you can build a relationship with them. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. We'll catch you next week.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio. So I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country. But many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. Theradiofactory.com.